posible.
Hallelujah. There we are. Hallelujah. I can echo an amen to the thought that someday this is all going to be over and we're going to join the Lamb, be able to worship around the throne. But in the meantime, it definitely was good again this morning to hear you sharing your voices together and blending voices together and bringing honor and praise to the Father. Again, I recognize this morning that we have an opportunity that is awesome to be able to fellowship together, to be able to spend time together here this morning. I want to thank God for that, first of all, because I realize that it is by His grace, by His mercy, that we're able to do this. Some of you may have seen the video that was floating around last week of the church in Canada. There was a Haldimand church in Canada where the sheriff came in and escorted the people out and changed the locks on the door. So, you know, it kind of sends chills up and down your spine as you watch that, but you know what? We serve an awesome God, and we can worship God, whether it's in the building or it's in the parking lot or if it's in the trees somewhere in the back of somebody at Mark's farm. We can still worship God, right? We can. But we have an opportunity today. We have an opportunity to be together and spend time afterwards with a picnic and food. And so it is to God's honor and to God's glory that we meet together. And one of the things that, as I watched that video and I thought about what it did to me, kind of the little bit of chills, and I thought about the whole subject of fear. And I know that fear is a subject that many of us are familiar with, and probably even more so in the last little while that we've experienced some things that we're fearful of. We're fearful of many things, and there's things that we don't even mention that we're fearful of. And so the subject of fear, I believe, is something that God would like us to take a look at this morning. And you can turn to Exodus chapter 19, and then we'll be looking at Exodus 20 as well. But just taking a moment to look at what is God's expectation of us as it relates to fear. And I believe that it's pretty clear that God expects us to have a proper perspective on fear and have it under the blood and have it at a place where it is a proper fear. And I had to think about, and I'll just tell one Louis story here and then we'll move on, but Sheldon and Krista brought their dog over one day, and her name is Bailey, and the dog is, you know, that big. Louis is this big, five times bigger than Louis. So just to get the picture, so this Bailey was in Louis's house, okay? And that was not okay with Louis. And Louis was hissing at Bailey and making some rather aggressive move towards Bailey. And I sat down in a recliner, and Bailey came and sat up against my legs really tight, like just pressing in against my legs, realizing, I don't know what, she felt some kind of safety in being able to sit there against my legs, even though I could have threw Bailey out of the house if I wanted to. But Bailey somehow felt that security of pressing up against my legs. And I thought about how beautiful the picture is, that when we are faced with fear, when we are faced with unknown, when we are faced with uncertainty, there is a place we can go. There is a God whose legs we can press up against and find security there. At the same time, recognizing that God calls us to fear Him. And so there's this here balance between, does God want us to fear Him or doesn't He want us to fear Him? And we get into that there, as you look at Scripture, one time it's saying fear not, next time it's saying fear. So what does God want? So we'll take a look at that. Also, so Louis was out on the deck and he has progressed to the point where he's spending more time outside these days, which is good for Louis. But the blue jay decided that Louis did not belong on the deck, and the blue jay one morning was reading Louis the Riot Act. I mean, giving him the what for. And Louis was cowering, okay? So Louis was experiencing fear. that he hadn't experienced before inside the house. But this blue jay caused him to have some fear. And then later on this week, he was out and I saw the blue jay swoop down over top of him and he was cowering down there, okay? So there is fear that's good. There is fear, because if that would have been an eagle, which they are around, I wouldn't be surprised if someday Louis disappears, kind of like, that's not our intent, don't get me wrong. But it's been known that the eagles are around picking up people's pets, so that is a risk that Louis takes being outside, but he enjoys being outside anyway. Let's read the scripture. We have this here in Exodus, as you remember, we had the story of the children of Israel and how they were in bondage for 400 years in Egypt and how they were put under hard labor and how that God brought them out. And he delivered them out of Egypt, and he delivered them from the Egyptians across the Red Sea and into the wilderness. And now they come to Mount Sinai, and starting in reading in chapter 19, verse 1, it says this. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim and come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And I want to echo this morning that the words of God that are spoken there to the children of Israel are also spoken to you this morning. I believe that is God's heart. Let me read it again. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. That's us, the children of God, the children that God loves and cares for. And in verse 6 it says, And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, and these are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I come to you in thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord, and then the Lord said to Moses, Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, and you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Do you think God meant what he said? Absolutely. In verse 13 it says, Not a hand shall touch him, but he will surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And I see here in this, as the people observed how God, when God came down on the mountain and there was lightning and thundering and smoke rising up, and there hears this loud trumpet that's louder than it seems. I mean, it's significant enough that they make note of it here in Scripture, that it was a loud trumpet that was sounding, and the people trembled. And I wondered this morning, as the people of God, when we see God, when we understand God, when we know God, and we experience God, do we still tremble? Do we still recognize God for the God that he is? And I recognize this morning that God also in John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves you. He loves you intensely. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son to be crucified, that his blood would redeem you. That's our God. Our God is also a God who is awesome, a God who is a fearful God, that if we should fall into the hands of a fearful God, that's a fearful thing. That is something that should cause us to reverence God. And let's look, turning over to chapter 20, and the rest of 19 there gives some of the things that they did. But in the beginning of verse 20, "Then God spoke all these words, saying," and he gives the Ten Commandments. And going to verse 18, it says, "Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us, we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die.'" And here's the verse I want us to catch this morning. "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin.'" Let me read it again. "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin.'" So are we to fear or to not fear as you read this verse? And I believe that both are right. I believe that both of them are right, that we, as we recognize the Father, as we get to know him, and we all recognize that through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we now are able to have a personal relationship with God. And he is one that we can go to. He is one that we can come to when we are afraid of the things that are going on around us. And there are many things that are going on around us, and there are many things that we experience today that we're afraid of. And I could go on, and the list could be huge of things that we experience as being fearful. Some people are afraid of the dark, okay? More so as a child, you were afraid of the dark. And it's chills, like afraid, scared. Some of us maybe this morning are afraid of, you have friends or loved ones who have experienced cancer and have died or are going through a horrible time, and you think every time you go to the doctor, you feel a lump or something. It's like, whoa, what is that? You know, does that belong there? Like, does that belong? Yeah, that belongs there. Okay. But we get fearful. We get fearful. Earl and Nancy Zimmerman attended church here for a while. Earl passed away on last week, and he was buried yesterday. Cancer, 64 years old. We don't know. We don't know what's going on inside. Are we going to live our lives completely in fear? It seems to me that as we understand and we come to a place where we have the awesome respect and fear of God, then the fear of these things is brought into submission. When you can truly bring your life in alignment with God, and you're born again, you're washed in the blood, and your fear is of God, as it says in Matthew, in the verse, I think it's 10, Matthew 10, that we are supposed to, Matthew 10, 24, I think it is, that we are supposed not to fear the one that can kill the body, but to fear God, who can kill the soul and the body. And once we have that proper understanding of who God is, and we put him in his proper place, and the fear of God is a respect. And I'll move on with that a little bit later, but one of the things I think as I look at this scripture, as I look at the God's intent here for, and I didn't finish in verse 21, it says, so the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Why was it that Moses was confident to go close to the darkness, to draw near to it? Why was Moses able to do that? Because Moses knew God. Moses understood God. God had told Moses exactly what it was that they were not to do or they were supposed to do. And Moses knew. The people were fearful because they didn't quite understand or didn't have a proper perspective of and a fear of God in the way that I believe that God wants us to have a fear of him this morning. Why is it important to fear God? And I do believe that the Bible teaches that. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that the Bible teaches that we are to fear God. And some people would say that, oh, well, that doesn't mean real fear. Well, I'll get into this a little bit later where one of the things that I thought about was electricity. You know, and I'll use that a little bit as an analogy, but just to give your mind a little bit to work with here, when you walked into the room here this morning, you aren't fearful of the electricity that's running around here, the wires, the outlets, and all those things. You didn't walk in here fearful of the electricity, did you? No. In fact, you know, Dan Swigert, he works with electric every day, and he has a respect for electric, because I know he does, because the day that he loses that respect, we'll probably get a phone call. You see what I'm saying? However, as much as I am not afraid of the electric, I would never stick a knife or a fork into the outlet, right? Okay? So there's a almost more right would probably be the word respect or a fear of. I would not stick a fork into the outlet because it would fry my hand, make my hair frizzy, or maybe stop my heart if you know, those are some of the things that could happen. But I'm not fearful. So electricity is a good thing. I can toast my bread with it in the morning. I have a nice piece of toast bread. I can make a nice smoothie with the blender. Sitting in the emergency room last week with Karen and seeing the monitors and stuff that are plugged into the wall that were monitoring her heart and all those things. And so electricity is a good thing. However, it needs to be respected. It needs to be honored. Are you with me? That's, I think, how our God is. We need to have a respect for him. We need to obey him. We need to acknowledge him as our creator. Once we have a proper perspective and fear of God, then we'll acknowledge him as our creator. In the Old Testament, there's a clear connection made between fearing God and keeping his commands and serving him. It says this in Deuteronomy 10:12, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So there's a connection there. It says again, what are we supposed to do? To fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So there's a connection between serving God and loving God and fearing him. In the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians 7:1, it says this, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in what? The fear of the Lord, in the fear of God. So there is a perfection to holiness that is accomplished in our fearing God. So that's another connection that is made there. In Luke 23, we see judgment. We have the two thieves that are hanging on the cross with Jesus, and the one says to the other, do you not fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? So there is a judgment that is connected to the fear of God. Revelations 14:7 says this, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth. and the sea and the springs of water. So there again, fear God and give glory to him, for his judgment has come. It is connected to judgment, is fearing God. So what will happen if we don't fear God? He has the right to judge. He is the righteous judge, and he has the right to judge. If we do not fear him, then we lose a connection with him. We lose a connection with him. So going on, the Bible says, the Bible almost seems to contradict itself, because every time that an angel showed up, they said, fear not. And, you know, there's many places where we are told to fear, and so we have this fear not, fear. So which is it that we're supposed to do? So making some sense of it, when I have the right fear, the wrong fear fades. Does that make sense? When I have the right fear, the wrong fear fades. All of a sudden, if I have a right fear of God, if I've committed myself to him, if I've taken the blood of his son Jesus, and I fear God for who he is, then the other fears will be done away with. As it says in Matthew 10:28, we are not to fear man, but we are to fear God. We usually spend so much time doing the opposite, don't we? Don't we spend a lot more time fearing man? Think about it. We spend more time fearing man than we do fearing God. When God says, don't fear man, fear me. Fear the one that can condemn your soul to hell. We have fears. When we have a right fear, the wrong fear fades. We have this culture that we live in, this economy that we count on, that we pour our lives into, we wrestle around making ends meet, providing for our families, and we have this here sense of responsibility, which we should. Not saying that any of this is wrong. But I wonder how many of us may have toyed with the idea of what it would feel like. What would happen if I was laid off? What would happen if I didn't have a job to go to? What would happen if for the next 4 years, as it has happened in the Great Depression that was early on in our country, what would happen if there was no work? I couldn't go to work. I couldn't make payments on my house. I couldn't provide for my family. What would happen? Every man sitting in this room knows that that generates a little bit of fear, right? We're scared to die. I talked about that. We're scared of uncertainty. We don't know what's ahead of us. It's like we have this here, in the pit of your stomachs, like, what's to come? What is to come? And so I have to battle down this temptation to become fearful. How will I pay my bills? Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and some of these things will be added to you. All these things will be added to you. Fearing God, trusting him, recognizing that it is in him that these things happen. It is in him. We're all a little bit afraid of dying. We've never experienced it. We don't know what's beyond this life. And so there's that fear. There's that fear of dying. But when we have a proper fear of God, and we have yielded our lives to him, and there's a proper respect for him, then we can face death. We can face dying. And it doesn't have to be a fearful thing. While we still don't understand it, and there is that, we don't want to. No. But we know that the God who said that we have life after death, if you've been born again, washed in the blood, this morning, you don't need to be afraid, that you can face death, you can face it boldly, and you can face it with confidence, knowing that God said it. Why? Because he's trustworthy. He's trustworthy. So this same God is the God that has called us to fear him. And he said to the children of Israel, I bring my fear before you so that you won't sin against me. And we all know how our flesh, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. You know, that's the world we live in. But when we have accepted the blood of Jesus, when we have been born again, there is the power of God within us to live a righteous, holy life. We can do that. We can do that. But God calls us to stay close to him, to stay close to him, to press in, stay close to him. And when we do that, when we stay close to him, then we can live a righteous, victorious life. And with a proper understanding of the fear of God. So why don't people fear God? What is it today? What is it that people do not fear God today? And one of the things that I think is one of the things that is a hindrance to people fearing God is that it seems like they have taken part in some sin, okay? They have taken part in something that is not holy, that is not good, that is not just, and they have done something, and they say, nothing happened. Lightning didn't come out of the sky and strike me dead. There's been no judgment. There's been nothing. So there's kind of like, there's no immediate consequences. It's like I'm getting away with it. Like I'm getting away. It's okay. I'm getting away with doing things that are not honoring to God. And I'm not being judged. I haven't died. I haven't gotten sick and all these things. So there's no fear of God because, well, it appears like I'm okay. I'm okay. And that's the age that we're living in. That is where unfortunately there are self-proclaimed Christians. And I say that carefully. There are self-proclaimed Christians who are living lives that are not moral, that have accepted divorce and remarriage, that have accepted abortion, that have accepted the whole gay lifestyle. And people looking on are saying, well, they're such good Christians. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. There will come a day, there will come a time where there will be a judgment. And when we lose the fear of God, then we lose the understanding that that will happen and that time will come if you are unwilling to repent. If you're unwilling to repent. Our society doesn't believe in judging, okay? So here's another thing that I believe that has lost the fear of God. And the Bible says in Matthew 7:1, judge not that you are not judged. Judge not that you are not judged. Did you know that is the in a survey that was done, that is the verse most people throughout the world were able to quote, judge not that you be not judged, or judge not, don't you judge me. There's more and more Americans that don't believe in God, but here's the more sobering thing. There's more and more Americans that the God that they do believe in is not who God is. There's many, many Americans, more and more Americans, that do not believe in God, but the more sobering thing is the God that they do believe in. And that is a God that will someday judge sin. He will not let it go. Because he is not doing it today does not mean he will not do it. There is a day coming. That God, is he a God to be feared? Absolutely. In John 7:24, it says this, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. We live in a society, here's another thing that why I believe people don't fear God anymore. We live in a society that doesn't believe there's an absolute truth. We live in a society that has adapted this idea that there is no absolute truth. Therefore, if I believe something to be true, if I believe something to be right, then it's right with me. You can believe something totally contradictory to my belief, and it's right with you. So there is no absolute truth. There's no absolutes anymore. The idea that what God has said is true is actually true no matter what the public opinion polls show. What God said is true no matter what the public opinion polls have shared. And I must move on. And another one that I think that hinders us from fearing God is that one of the things that happens is the church doesn't talk about the fear of God anymore. The church don't talk about it. The church talks about love and grace. And love and grace is good and it is right, it is true, it is part of Scripture, but so is God's justice and His judgment. That's just as much a part of Scripture as His love and His grace is. Not to scare people into following Christ, but to understand that the God that we serve, the God that we love, the God that we have committed ourselves to is able to do far above what we can ask or think. He can make the mountain smoke. He can bring the lightning and the thunder. He can make a trumpet that scares you skinny. That's our God. Hallelujah. He's a just God. And I want a just God. I want to serve a God that is a just God, that is not wavering in what He I think the church has lost the awe of God. And I'm not talking particularly New Covenant. I'm just saying this is something that our culture is experiencing. That we are. So, moving on. What are the benefits of fearing God? And I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. And one of the first benefits of fearing God is that it helps me to avoid evil. Okay? And it says this, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate, says the Lord." Proverbs 8:13. So if I fear God, I will avoid evil. When I get a proper understanding, a proper fear of God, it helps me to avoid evil. And that is exactly what He said to the children of Israel as He shared with them. And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and His fear may be before you so that you may not sin." And another scripture here is one of the things that it brings is it brings long life. It says this, "The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." Proverbs 10:27. So how does that work? You see, when I fear God, I realize there are certain things that He hates. When I understand that there are certain things that He hates, as I talked about the electricity in the outlet, I would not stick a fork into an outlet any more than for the reason I wouldn't put my tongue on a frozen pipe. Because, you know, it's just, there's some common sense. So if God hates something, should it not then be something that we would be really aware of? If God hates it, should we not hate it? Should we not have that fear of God that understands that if God hates it, then I better hate it? And God hates sin. Because God hates it, that's good enough for me. What makes God angry about sin is that it hurts you and it hurts the people around you. Thirdly, the fear of God brings wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Fourth, Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14 says this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. It is man's all to fear God. Deuteronomy 6, it leads to obedience. Deuteronomy 6, 2 says that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. There again, there's long life. Matthew 10, 27 through 28 says this, and this is the one I want to close with. Matthew 10, 27 through 28 says this, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Does the Bible call us to fear him? Does God call us to fear him in his written word? Absolutely. And when we have a proper perspective and a proper fear of God, then we can live life to its fullest. We can live life to its fullest. We will hate the things that God hates. We will not take lightly the things that God doesn't take lightly. And we will honor him and we will bring glory to him and to his name. So my challenge to us this morning again, as we look at the things that are going on around us, as we look at the fears that arise in our hearts, as we look at the times we're living in, do you still have a proper perspective on the fear of God and the fear that God wants us to have of him? At the same time, loving him, cherishing him, he cherishes you. He cares for you. You are his special. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to look into your word. I pray that you would take the word that was shared here this morning, Lord, and I pray that you would implant it into our hearts. Father, I pray that you would protect it, that the enemy would not be able to take it away, to steal it or destroy it, but that you would receive the honor and the glory. I pray that the enemy would not be able to twist the words that I shared this morning. Lord, that they would reflect truly your scripture. The things that don't, I pray that you would distract from our, take away from our minds, Lord. So, Father, I pray for the church again this morning. I pray, Lord, that as we go out from this place, as we continue to serve you and bring honor and glory to you in the communities that we live in and wherever it might be, Lord, I pray that people would know that we have been with you and that you would receive the honor and the glory in it. God, I thank you that this morning we have opportunity to spend time together, to share food together. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless that time, you would anoint our time. God, I pray for an anointing on the food. I pray that you bless it and cleanse it and purify it. And as we share together here today, may we all be strengthened. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, if the chorus will lead us in the closing song.